All financial advice provided on this show is for entertainment and educational purposes only. The financial ideas and strategies discussed are only provided as a starting point for a conversation about money matters. With regard to your particular investments and financial strategies, consult your financial planner, CPA, or investment professional. All your financial decisions are yours and yours alone to make and subsequently are solely your responsibility. The information that is supplied through the context of the radio program and any repurposing of its content by the host or network is a combination and collection of solid financial investment understanding, opinion, and comments. This network, show, and its host are not liable for financial strategies, outcomes that you employ in any manner that result in any kind of loss. Shares of corporate sponsors may be the subject of buy or sell recommendations in Jay Taylor's newsletter in accordance with Jay's objective opinion.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. This hour will help investors fix issues and achieve personal gain. Now, here's your host, Jay Taylor.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I am your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm speaking to you from New York City on this, the fourth day of December, 2018. And I do like to remind you each and every week that I write a newsletter called Jay Taylor's Gold, Energy, and Tech Stocks, and you can subscribe to that letter at miningstocks.com. It is a letter that focuses primarily on the junior mining sector, the exploration companies, and they have gotten battered and hit very, very hard over the last year or so. So my view is that probably now is not a bad time to look at that sector, although the human inclination is to not look at stocks when they're battered. I would suggest that you might want to think otherwise. Would also encourage you to consider subscribing to Chen Lin's letter, What is Chen Buying, What is Chen Selling? Has an excellent track record, has done extremely well, especially in the biotech sector. He also has done quite well in the mining sector, as well as the energy, with various energy stocks as well. And I also want to mention Michael Oliver, of course. He'll be with me momentarily. Oliver MSA, olivermsa.com is the place to go to sign up for his wonderful newsletter, which he shares with me, Momentum and Structural Analysis. And as I say, Michael will be with me in just a couple of minutes from now. We do want to thank our sponsors for making this show economically viable. Sponsors for today's show, RN Resources, Novo Resources, Sandstorm Gold, Triumph Gold, Gold Mining Inc., Uranium Energy, and Klondike Gold Corp. I've titled today's show, Why Interest Rates Are Inevitably Heading Higher. Alistair McLeod, Ivan Bebek, and Michael Oliver are my guests on today's show. Alistair, who is my main guest, he says that he'll be with me in the second half of today. And in the November 22nd article that he wrote for Gold Money, he stated the following, and I quote, "There are growing expectations that the current cycle of rising interest rates will result in a deflationary recession. While a credit crisis is increasingly likely to evolve in the coming months, it is a highly inflationary situation. A combination of higher interest rates and catastrophic falls in purchasing power of fiat currencies will continue to plague welfare-driven states in the wake of a credit crunch. The standard post-crisis solution of monetary and fiscal reflation will not be available in this term," according to what Alistair wrote, and we'll ask him about that. Certainly want to find out what we should be looking forwards to. Why in the world won't the central banks be able to do what they've done every other time we've had a decline in the markets, just simply print more money? So we'll definitely be asking Alistair why he thinks this time is different. You know, people always say that this time is different, and usually doesn't turn out to be all that different, but sometimes there's a major turning point in the longer term history, and so we'll see what Alistair has to say. During the second segment of today's show, in just a few minutes from now, after our first commercial break, I'll be talking with one of the most successful young entrepreneurs in the mine exploration business, and he is Ivan Bebek, the executive chairman of RN Resources, which company is starting to drill its world-class gold-copper target in Peru. Like most gold exploration companies now, RN's shares are selling at their lowest level in several years. I think I looked at a chart about, it's at a three-year low at this point in time, not because of lack of success in their exploration efforts, but because the gold exploration share markets have been hit so hard over the last over the last year or year and a half or so. The key to success when it comes to investing is to buy quality assets when they are out of favor. Then when the gold exploration share markets finally turn, I expect Arun and a host of other companies that I follow in my newsletter to reward patient investors with very sizable gains. So we want to wait and see when the gold market's going to turn. And, well, we have Michael Oliver with us. He always has his reliable work provides us with a guideline in that respect. Thanks for joining me again, Michael.
Hi, Jay. Good to be back.
It's really good to be back. You know, we always like to ask you about gold and silver. I want to ask you especially about silver today. But before we get to that, given the fact that the equity markets are down now 670 points, that is the Dow, and the I think all the markets are getting hit comparably hard, I want to ask you what's going on there now. Alistair MacLeod, you know, he's going to talk to us about the equity markets and about the economy in general. He thinks interest rates are headed higher long term. And I think he believes that he's been predicting, actually, that we're going to have a pretty tough equity market here before the end of this year. Seems as though it's turning out to be true, possibly. But what are your thoughts right now on equities? And I know last weekend you devoted half of your extensive weekend commentary to the equity market. So obviously they're very important to you right now.
Right. I think that they were the last to make the major turn. Bonds turned in 2016, downside meaning higher rates. Gold bottomed in late 2015, never went back to the low. A lot of things turned a year or two ago, but the S&P, being the strongest of the developed market stock indices, the U.S. market is compared to Europe or Japan even, is top now. I think it topped in September, period, exclamation point, circle that, it was the top. Now, that answers one question. Then the next question is, well, what happens now? Well, is it a layered decline that only later becomes nasty? Or does it get nasty shortly after the top? Well, so far it's been sort of nasty, but you can go back to 2000 top in the S&P or the 2007 top. And while you got some sharp drops off of what was the high, it really unfolded in layers. And it wasn't until mid-2018 before it really started to come apart. But in between that time, the October 2007 high and the mid-2008 sharp drop, that you had a lot of sharp sell-offs, but sharp rallies as well. So it was very confusing with a downward downside bias, but the rallies turn heads, and that's what we just had here the last few days. Mm-hmm. And what's really going on is if you'll do some examining underneath the covers instead of just looking at the price charts, the NASDAQ 100 had been our leader index, led by Amazon, Google, things like that. It collapsed on a relative performance basis to the S&P before the October decline in the index's net prices. And on the rebound since then that we've had, the spread really has not recovered. So what's going on is we're not getting rebuying of the leadership stuff. We're getting buying of things like consumer staples, defensive stocks.
Yes.
Not getting the buying of the old leadership. So the rally is being masking that reality. The reality is that we're not back to normal. So I think the rally is baloney. This particular rally is really a professional would chortle at it. You had two pieces of news. One, Powell said what you wanted him to say.
Yeah.
Say, well, we're waving a white flag to some extent. And then two, we had the China trade deal postponed. So two great pieces of news, so you buy the news. Well, the guys that bought the news are wondering right now. I suspect strongly that if you get back down into the 2600s, it even approach the recent lows, the October low and the low we made last month, they're going to blow it out the bottom. And by blow it out the bottom, I think the next step is you go down, take out the lows of the year, which are around 2550, S&P now, and you go maybe to 2400. I see some reasons to have a fight there. That's the big issue. Are we going to unfold in an arduous manner, like the 2000 top, the 2007 top, which means a lot of arm wrestling before you really get the bear going, or do you precipitously collapse? And I think the decision isn't made here. The decision's going to be made around 2400. And that's the area you've got to watch, because if that doesn't hold, you could get something much sharper and faster. And I don't know the answer to that. I just know that that's the key area. It's important to gold, obviously, and the T-bonds. The bonds are having a rally now. Rates are dropping. And I think that rally is a counter-trend rally, meaning ultimately we're not going to get lower rates. But in the short term, I think bonds are being bought by people who are nervous about stocks, and I think gold is getting some of that benefit as well.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Certainly, I think a lot of people feel that, you know, as Alistair MacLeod is going to talk to us about, a lot of people really feel that we're going to have a replay of 2008-2009. If we go into a credit crisis, we'll have collapsing rates, and the Fed can start all over again, and the other central banks can start all over again by reflating the economy, and we'll be off to another 10 years of happiness. Well, Alistair has a fundamental view that sounds very similar to your view as you look at your technical analysis. I do want to ask you, with 2 minutes left here, about silver. James Turk made some comments yesterday. He seems to be turning very, very bullish. Now, James is usually bullish on precious metals, I should say. Long term, he is. But he seems to think that we could be getting close to a real turn in silver now. How do you see it?
I agree. Silver is up twice as much as gold today. Not that that mattered day to day. It happens that way sometimes. But silver performed worse than gold in the recent decline, which is typical of silver and also the gold miners. They do better on the upside, ultimately, when you unleash them, than gold. And on the downside, they do worse than gold. So they're like a wild dogs on a leash, so to speak. But on the upside, there are better places to be, in my view. Silver and the gold miners as opposed to gold. But gold is the mama, so you got to watch it for your direction. But then I think right now the focus should be on buying gold miners and silver. Silver did reach a level that was close. You know, it traded under 14 last month, late in the month, and I think early this month, and flipped immediately back up to 1450. It happens that around the highs we've made in the last 2 days in silver, if you close the month out here, now that's a long way away, but if you close the month out here or higher at around today's highs, I think the turn is done. You are turning up. I've got some other things. You don't have to wait for month end in gold and the GDX. GDX today, the gold mining ETF, got up to 1977, and our published buy number was just above there if it closes a week just above today's high. So I'm looking for a weekly close up there anytime in the next few weeks. And gold is, on a daily basis, has gotten above some numbers today that I think are positive. I'd prefer to have a weekly close up in this area. So we'll see. I think we've got like a half day tomorrow and 2 days on Thursday, Friday. So if gold can be hanging around the highs of the week by the end of the week, I think it's saying something.
All right. All right. Well, thank you very much, Michael. Maybe we're getting close to a breakout for the yellow metal and the precious metals and those shares. We certainly would like to see that, those of us who invest in that sector, that's for sure. Well, I see here the Dow is down 729 as we go to break. Gold is hanging in there today. It's quite a day. But we do have to go to break now. Thanks so much for being with us again, Michael.
You.
And folks, we will be right back with Ivan Bebek, the executive chairman of RN Resources, so don't go away.
Noble Resources Corp. trades on the OTCQX under the symbol NSRPF and on the TSX Venture Exchange under NVO. Its flagship assets are located in the Karratha region of Western Australia, where they are currently drilling and trenching their Perdes Reward Project. In addition, Noble has partnered with Sumitomo Mining Corporation to advance its Beaton's Creek Gold Project toward production. With over $70 million in cash and strong shareholder support from the likes of Kirkland Lake Gold, Noble is well on its way to establishing itself as one of the top junior explorers and developers in Australia.
Turning Hard Times into Good Times is brought to you in part by Sandstorm Gold Royalties. Sandstorm Gold Royalties is a different kind of gold company. They purchase royalties on select mining operations and receive a percentage of the revenue in return. Sandstorm now has a portfolio of over 185 gold royalties around the world. See how gold royalties differ from other gold mining investments at sandstormgold.com. That's sandstormgold.com. Sandstorm Gold Royalties trades on the TSX as SSL and the NYSE as SAND.